Why are we here? Not just this little group. Why are we humans on this earth? Why have all the humans who've ever lived come to this earth? It's a simple answer, isn't it? Not from the scientists, but from the Bible. God wants all to have the opportunity to learn about Jesus and have eternal life. So that's the reason he's created the whole universe, because he wants to build a family, if you like, with sons and daughters who are going to live forever. So at some time in their life, people are going to get an opportunity to learn about Jesus. And if they accept him, they receive instant forgiveness, reconciliation to God, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, and that's wonderful. But, as they say, Christianity is not a steady state religion. You don't repent, get baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and that's it. We're called to grow. The scripture earlier on, Romans 12:1, said, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, Apostle Paul said. So that's what everybody has to do. And if we're going to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, there's a lot to our bodies, isn't it? Amazing computer mind that man only uses about 1% of. And one day we'll find out about how incredible our mind really is. So we have things to do in this life. And this is a three-part sermon. I'm going to talk about the mind, then the head, and today I'm going to talk about from the neck downwards. So we're starting with the, if you like, the least important bit, because all the thinking goes on up there, but that's for another day. This is about the neck downwards. We've got the neck, we've got the heart, you've got the hands, you've got the loins, and you've got the feet. So we're going to look at those five parts. Now when you think of the neck, we have lots of expressions to do with the neck, don't we? Like you stick your neck out, take a chance on something. Or you can be stiff-necked. Nehemiah 9:28, verse 28. What it says, but after they had rest, they did evil before you. Therefore you left them in the hands of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies, and testified against them, that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly. They did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders and stiffened their necks. And it goes on about all the terrible things God's people have done, disobeying him. And in Isaiah 3:16, moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. So it's not just the men, it's the women as well, who can have stiff necks and use their necks in the wrong way. There's a friend of mine, I first heard this a long, long time ago. I was saying something and he wasn't really listening, and he said, oh, wind your neck in. He's only joking, but wind your neck in and stop speaking. And of course the opposite is in Romans 16:3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life,
to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So, that's the neck. I'm sure you can think of lots more scriptures, but we'll be here well into this afternoon if we look at all of them. What about coming down from the neck? The heart is next. Not the physical heart. We're talking about the, what can you say, the soul. The soul is the heart. Jeremiah 17:9, classic scripture. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The heart, maybe you could say the mind, is desperately wicked, because that's where things start, in the mind. But we're going to deal with the mind another time. Matthew 15:17. Jesus talking. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, or a woman, of course. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Words that we use about the heart, we can be hard-hearted, can't we? Mean-hearted. The word heart appears over 1,000 times in the Bible, and the majority are negative. The opposite is being, what, tender-hearted, big-hearted, whole-hearted, doing something heartily. There's that scripture that says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's wholeheartedly. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. We're putting on a breastplate, and the breast is where the heart is, so we need to cover the heart, protect the heart. And we're also sort of into mind territory when we're talking about the heart, aren't we? Ephesians 6:14, the classic section about the whole armour of God. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And Paul goes on one of his very long sentences. He's sort of changing the subject slightly. But it's the whole armour. And that applies to the other parts we're going to come to as well, not just the breastplate, but the breastplate of righteousness in our heart, in our mind, the way we think. Do we think righteousness, and do we kill unrighteousness when it turns up? That's the heart. What about the hands? The hands. Again, not the physical. Well, there's a new term that's been coined, hasn't there, in this, all this Harvey Weinstein abuse saga, and all the other people who are being, not dragged into it, but being revealed that they're up to the same thing. They were calling them handy. They were always trying to touch women. And in the 60s, of course, it was a different era, and they got away with it. But no longer. But also, we can be positive with it. You can have a hand in something. You know, you help someone to do something. You can give a helping hand, like a good Samaritan, if you like. Matthew 18:8. Probably remember what this is. Jesus talking about hands. And if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And he goes on about the eye as well, but we'll come to that another time. Yes, Ecclesiastes 9:10, I think that's that scripture I quoted, isn't it? What if you find to do, do it enthusiastically, do it with energy. 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul writing to Timothy, therefore I desire the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, etc., etc. But lifting up holy hands, and we sang songs about that earlier on. That's what God loves from his children, to be praying and thinking about him, worshipping him. And there was another wonderful way to use hands for good, is surgeons. Amazing things they can do now. It's just getting mind-boggling. And they can do it by keyhole surgery, you know, just a tiny little incision. When I had a triple bypass, they had to do the whole business. Moving down the body. Loins. Not lions, loins. Gird them up. It's a saying, isn't it? Gird up your loins. Get ready, be prepared. And that expression, gird up, appears 15 times in the Bible. Take courage. In terms of loins, protect the genital area, the sexual area, physically and spiritually. And of course, the sexual standards have never been good among mankind, as we know. But in the 60s, they really started getting crazy. So our children have to live with this and resist the temptations and all the pornography on the internet and so on. So we have to guard what we think about. And it said, Ephesians 6:13, take up the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, not fall. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So for the waist, that's just above the sexual area. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, and above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. And 1 Peter 1:13, here's one of the gird up your loins scriptures. And the little heading in the New King James is living before God our Father. So Peter says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, because when you get tempted, it's in the mind, even though what you're going to do may be lower down the body. Gird up the loins of our mind. Right, moving on down. Feet. How about feet? Well, we can put our foot in it, can't we? You can have foot in mouth disease, but we can put our best foot forward. We can walk a mile in his shoes. Matthew 5:41. Yes, walk a mile in someone's shoes. And of course the classic expression is, I don't think it's in the Bible, but I thought I was poor because I had no shoes until I saw a man with no feet. And there are so many of those around all over the world where landmines have been planted and are still being, you know, trodden on, and people's lives being ruined. You remember Princess Diana was leading the attempts to clear up the landmines. Romans 3:15. This is quoting from Proverbs 1. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Succinct, isn't it? And when you think about all of the revolutions there have been and all the massacres there have been, just people, and I mean, it's happening right now in Syria, where they're bombing areas, residential areas, where they think rebels are, and they're killing men, women and children, innocent bystanders to this terrible war, with to shed blood. 1 Corinthians 12, and this is where Paul is making the analogy of the body of Christ. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, it's obvious that the foot, unless it's blown off in a, by a landmine, if you have a foot, it's obvious it's part of the body, and a very important part. If you lose one foot, you know all about a change to your lifestyle. And we can remind ourselves that, you know, when Jesus gave his instructions to his disciples, he said, go. Go means walking. So we have to use our feet to walk. Ephesians 6:15. Well, we've read that twice. Well, we'll do it again. Ephesians 6:15. See then that you walk circumspectly. And the margin has a note for that word. Let's have a look what it is. Carefully, it says. Walk carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. And there's a sermon in itself. How do we redeem the time? Because the days are evil. So Jesus tells us to go. We have to, you know, go where God leads us, in our neighbourhood or in our hobbies or wherever we come across people. They can't see us being salt and light if we're not mixing with them. 1 John 1:5. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God wants us to walk in the light and have fellowship with one another. Love our neighbours. Okay, so that's dealt with the net to the feet. You could put legs in, I suppose, but... Anyway, I kept it to five, and there's something I'd like to show you here. You see that? This is Jamaican patois. And I was in Jamaica a few years back with Eddie, and I saw this on a stand. I thought, I'll have that for my kitchen. But here is take care. The patois for take care is walk good. I wish you all to walk good.